Hey guys, I'm Carissa and I'm so glad that you're here today. Before the service begins, we want to give you a chance to see what's happening around Warsaw Community Church. Think of this as a quick way to get connected and feel at home. So before we get rolling, let me introduce what you're watching. This is The Loop. It's our weekly pre-service video designed to keep you connected, inspired, and informed about everything happening here at WCC. Each week, you'll hear about upcoming events, ways to get involved, and stories that remind us of what God is doing in our community. Hey, if you're new, we are so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. We'd love for you to stop by and say hi and connect with us. You can do that after the service by heading to the New Here kiosk in the lobby, where somebody would love to meet you, say hi, get to know you a little bit better, and we'd love for you to take a moment and fill out the connection card. We also have a little gift that we would like to give you as a tangible way to say thank you for coming today. We have a great lineup today to help you discover more about who we are and how you can get connected. Speaking of that, let's start with an easy next step. Coming up soon is our Discovering WCC class. This is a simple, friendly way to learn what we believe, meet some of our team, and find out how you can take your next step here. Oh, and by the way, we're serving a hot breakfast. If you've been visiting for a while, or you're ready to get more involved, this is a great place to start.
Hi everyone, I'm Nate Mettler, pastor of discipleship here at WCC. One of my favorite things about our church is how people grow when they connect with others. Growth groups are one of the best ways to build real community and take steps in your faith. Whether you're new or you've been here a long time, there's a place for you. To learn more, here's a quick video about what growth groups can mean for your year.
This year, let's skip the same old resolutions. What if growth looked different? What if the change you really needed wasn't just about you? The time to get connected is now. The time to find your people and grow in your faith. Make it your resolution to join a growth group. Join a group that encourages one another, one that keeps Christ at the center. 2026 is the year to grow differently, to go deeper in faith, to overflow with hope in Him.
One of our favorite celebrations we share as a church is baptism. It's such a meaningful step of faith and a powerful moment to celebrate with your church family. As you watch these moments, let them remind you of the hope and new life we have in Jesus. And if baptism is something you've been thinking about, we provide that opportunity several times each year. Be praying about your participation and feel free to fill out a baptism interest form if you'd like to learn more.
Thanks so much for joining us for The Loop today. We hope that you feel seen, known, loved, and encouraged. Grab your seat. We're about to start worship.
Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a good Christmas time away and are ready for another year. Apparently not. Okay. Well, I have mixed feelings myself. You know, you want some routine in your life, and then you don't. So we'll see how it goes. And I was thinking about the kids. I always remember what that's like to go back to school. And so we try to distract ourselves by making New Year's resolutions. A couple months ago, I was talking about putting 2025 in my rearview mirror. Now, some of you know I actually said 2026. I meant 2025, and you knew that. But life can be challenging. And so at New Year, we take a look back, right? And we remember and we're reminded. And we think about some things that we want to change. And so we do this thing, this time of year we make New Year's resolutions, and then this time of year we break them. And I was thinking, collectively, how much weight did we resolve, make a resolution to lose collectively? How much would that be? I'm in for 20. Can I get a 25, right? And the sad thing is with resolutions, by the ninth, most of us are out. I had a little incident earlier this morning, and I was bound and determined this year I was going to be on time and where I'm supposed to be every time. I got to the fourth. I was a little late coming in for the service. So, right? But we make these things, and the challenge with a resolution is it requires discipline, commitment, dedication, and it requires strength. It requires strength, right? And that's why we fail, because we get weary and we get tired. You know, I was thinking about a couple others. I've been eating like a pig, and I was late for the first service, and I'm done. I'm already tapped out. But rather than do things that require our strength, as we think about this new year going ahead, let's think about what the Lord would be resolving for us, what he's already resolved. And the difference is significant. The difference is that with him, he gives the strength. It's not our strength. It's his strength in us. And when we get weary and when we get tired, he gives us strength. He gives us mercy. He gives us grace. He gives us freedom. And that's the difference in the following what God has for us. And that's what we're going to be doing as we look at this next year coming up, as we remember, first of all, the things he's done. And the reason we need to remember is because we forget, right? It's so easy for us to forget. We forget the things that God has done. And in the Old Testament, there were a lot of things that God asked of the children of Israel. And after God did something amazing, he often would say, hey, gather these stones of remembrance. And if you've been around here very long, you know that we have a lot of stones. We got another one for you today. It's smaller. But
The idea is to not forget what God has done. And the reason we need to be reminded is because we do forget. And when we forget, we lose confidence in Him. We forget how He worked. You know, part of this past year has been difficult for Karen and I in lots of different little ways and some big. There were good things, there's bad things. But I want to make a point because I've been thinking about this a lot. How much this has affected me, my wrong view. When things go south, when we're blindsided by a tragedy, a difficulty, a trial, we tend to start questioning God's goodness. It's not just a me thing, is it? You know, how's He letting me go through this? Why is He letting me go through this? Why didn't He heal them? Why did He allow this? But I want to tell you, and this year as we pursue a deeper relationship with Him, we'd be more and more confident of His goodness. God is good, and He has a good plan for you. The other thing we have to do is be able to say, and this circumstance is horrible. I hate this. I don't like this. This is hard. I don't understand. I don't understand why all of this is taking place. I don't know why this has happened and that's happened, but I know this, God is good. Seeing His goodness, always, because He is. And so as we think about remembering, I was thinking of the challenge of a New Year's kickoff message. You want to look back, but I get excited about the future, don't you? I get excited about what God's going to do. Because I've seen Him do it over again. In Philippians chapter 3 describes this. It's pressing on. It's let's press on to the things that God has for us. Let me just read it to you. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on to reach the end of the race. We're all running a race. And receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Each one of us is being called, and so we press on with the difficulties, with the hardship, with the broken relationship, with all of the things that can happen and happen to all of us in different ways at different times, that we can press on to the things He has. And a key element of that is remembering that God is faithful. God is good. And so we see in Scripture a remembrance. It's not a stone. It's not a memorial. It's communion. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better way to start our new year. By celebrating communion. Remembering what Christ did. Is that demonstration of love to you. Willingly gave His life so that we could have life. That our sins could be forgiven. We could be made whole. And not only that, but then He calls us in to purpose. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. And all of that was accomplished at the cross. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just commit the rest of our time to You. Lord, we ask that You would allow us to see You more for who You are, how good You are, what You're like. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be open to You. You're leading, You're calling. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that will respond to Your goodness, even our difficulties. Lord, I ask especially for strength of faith, that we might surrender to you. And that we would find joy in that surrender as we think of the surrender that you demonstrated by going to the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, giving your life, shedding your blood. You are so good, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take out your elements. Take out the bread first. We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the church and we receives instructions as we remember what Christ has done. It says this in 23, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' Take the bread and eat." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink." Drink the juice. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So we remember. Remember that in times of trials, it's really easier to accept that God is good when he gave his own life as a demonstration of that love. And now I want us to look back at this past year. So go ahead and put the slide up. And what you'll see is some numbers and some titles. What I don't want you to miss is that each one of those is a person. In fact, some of those numbers represent many of you. You think about how many people volunteer. And I also think, man, wouldn't that be great if that was 1,000? I'm saying we shouldn't focus on the number. We should focus on the impact of those that it has on their lives and the lives of others. I think about growth groups. The opportunity, it's there. You know, Tim was sharing just a little bit of his heart and wanting to connect and be in community, and these rows becoming a circle and becoming friends that we can walk through life together, people who will point us to Christ. Will help us remember what Christ has done for us. Help us remember the things that God has for us. Remember how good he is to support us and care for us. I know that's what our group is to us. We started, knew some of the people, and some of them not very well at all. And yet, being together and talking about what God's word says, and that just another chance to think about the things that God wants to teach us and show us. And that group has been tremendous to us in the support and the care and the love. It's amazing. And if we hadn't stepped into that, we wouldn't have gotten to experience any of that. All the encouragement, all the care. We also would have missed opportunities to extend care, to pray for and to be with. So growth groups, that's a tremendous number, but those are people. That's me being impacted. It's you, if you're involved, being impacted. And then summer camps, what can we say about our children's ministry and youth ministry here at WCC? So good. Such care is given to your kids, our kids, as they're partnering with you as parents to teach your children to know and love him. That they would have that gift of salvation, but they'd also have a purpose in their lives, a meaningful one. something that they are called to. And so they do a tremendous job, and you see that reflected in those summer camps. That's a highlight for sure. But then I want to put Moms, the River, Stephen Ministry, and Women to Women together. I want to tell you something. All of those ministries that have this huge impact on people are all led by people like you. Those are not staff-led. We're not paying someone to lead those, to put everything together, to do all the teaching, to do all the communicating. And all. That's people like you, people that have found their calling, that they recognize, I have an opportunity. I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to serve in this way. And by serving, yes, they benefit so much, and we're thankful for them. But those ministries are all led by you. It's tremendous. And that's so aligned with this idea of, yes, God's building his church. Christ said that, right? I will build my church. Nothing can stop it, not even the gates of hell. So we have confidence in that. But then there's things inside of the church that God has for us. And that's you and I. It's just people a part of this one body called WCC that we would be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And so we have equipped people, and they're also willing to step out, take a step of faith, and move into those things. And then, of course, baptisms. I can't remember a time that we had that many people who were willing to publicly say, I have placed my faith in Christ. And I want everybody to know it. Tremendous. Those numbers are people. It's life change. That's what God has been doing. And you think about giving Bibles away. You know, it's easy for us that have been in church a long time. Maybe for some of you who grew up in that environment, it's second nature. That's not all of us. I recently had a conversation with someone, and they were so thankful for their Bible because they could read it and understand it. They wanted to, they had been trying, but the dialect that that other translation was in was not their dialect, and it hindered them. And we have this Filament Bible, which is has an app with it. It's a study Bible. It's just amazing. And I'd also say none of that's possible without your giving. We could talk a lot about giving. We don't. But I hope you connect your giving with what God is doing. Not just in giving of tithes, your finances, but giving of your lives. God has used you to do some amazing things this year. And so we thank him. We also, we go into this next year with more confidence. Do you sense that? You should. I mean, the world is falling apart. You know, here we are, growing deeper in our relationship with him and sharing the hope of the gospel. That we're on mission, we have a purpose, and this mission matters. It matters to the souls of people that are desperately needing him. It matters to us that we might live free and victorious. Do you even know what I'm saying when I say live free? You know, the upcoming series, we're going to be focused on this word one. Because in Scripture, there's so many places where it talks about the one. And we're going to read a passage in Ephesians here in just a minute. It's one. There's one Lord. One Lord. There's one Savior. There's one God. There's one way. There's one truth. There's one life. There's one. And we're going to be looking at that. And there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the mystery that's wrongly surrounding him. We don't really know. Hey, we even call him the Holy Ghost. But what's that mean? We don't know how he would lead us or how he would guide us. what his voice sounds like. So we are kicking off this year. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and how you can learn to listen to him so that as he leads, you will follow the direction that he wants for us in our everyday life. And then we'll be going into Romans. And Romans is a deep, deep book. But in Romans, we learn what it is to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be learning, and not just learning, I hope, but actually living out what it is to have a victory or a victorious life. Victory over what? The world around us, our sinful nature within us. Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. Yes, amen. And he is our Savior before he is our Lord. But he has so much more than just saving us from our sins. He wants us to enjoy the victory. The power that overcame sin at his death is the power that's available to us to live the life he intends in freedom and joy and peace, with purpose, understanding the call, understanding his leading, that we might be Christ to other people. So that's a bit of a look ahead, but I wanted us to watch a video. I won't say much about it. We were going to watch it. Some of you already saw this, but we want to watch this again with that in mind of what God has for us.
So 1999 is when the Columbine shootings happened. And back then, I mean, that was traumatic and traumatic for me. And so we wanted to do something for kids. And so we had a concert. You came and you were found like cowardly in a tent. Eli came and got me, and I went and talked with you, and reluctantly, you know, you couldn't speak to me. You were so broken, so
nervous.
Yeah, I mean, just you didn't have interaction with adults. So we asked you if we could come get you for church, and the next morning you were sitting on that picnic table waiting on us. It took me probably a week or more to just get the hair from your face and for you to be able to talk to me.
Well, I didn't always have the best home life. I felt like you were there. You were able to teach me and things that my mom wouldn't or couldn't. I felt like you and Max and Nick and Taylor showed me what a normal family was like.
I lost track of when it was, but I knew that we weren't connecting, like phone changes, phone numbers and things. Then it was that a friend of mine saw you, took a picture and said, "Hey, isn't this Angel?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, yes, please get her number." So we connected again. Then you're in a situation where it's just you with an income and rent being so, so expensive. You just weren't able to make ends meet.
No. In this day and age, it's really hard to live on one income.
Right.
Especially with children.
Right. And so instead of one job, you had how many?
Two. I would go to work, and then I would come home, make dinner, go to my second job, and then I would sleep on my breaks. And then I would come home and try to sleep about 3 or 4 hours before I had to go back to work.
I think I called Jeff first at the church, but he said that there was a benevolence committee. And so I contacted Andrea, and I spoke with her, and she said, "Hey, can you type up a little thing and tell me about your relationship?" So that's what I did. And you were just asking for like 1,074 something something because you had gotten some money. And then you retexted me and said, "Hey, I got a little more money, so I really only need this much money." And so it was the following week. She said that they had accepted it and accepted that, and they really wanted to help, and that they would be cutting a check for 4 months' rent for you.
As soon as she had told me about it, I was really nervous. I asked her if I'm sure there's another family that could use this. But I knew that we needed it, so I also decided to take it and be able to help my kids.
And then, if I could add this, you were at church with us. It's been a few Sundays ago, and you left. You walked away, girl. You blew me away again because I said, hey, what did you do over there? You said,
I want to give back, eventually. I want to be able to help serve. And I was just trying to find my spot.
And you said to me, I don't know if I can give $2 or $3, but I can give something. You know, that's being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Look back and we remember that God is at work and how he used just someone like you. Someone like you that was willing. And maybe as you watch that, you think, well, they must have more time than I have. They must have more energy, or that's for them. Every one of us has a call on our life. Every one of us. And then you think about how that relationship went and the opening up of their life and sharing it with someone else. Literally, genuinely being Christ to them. And then that response, isn't that amazing? I don't know that I can do much, but I want to be a part. I want to help someone else experience the love and the care that I experienced. Your giving made that possible. And we could talk a lot about giving. We usually don't, do we? But we're not going to today either. I just want you to connect that. And that heart of generosity about being a part of what God is doing. That's one of the ways that we get to do that. However, if we don't become a church where we as individuals and collectively know what the call God has on us and our lives, this would not have happened. And all the resources in the world wouldn't have made a relationship and allowed for Christ to shine and for angel experience. God is good. So that's what's in front of us as we look back. And God wants to multiply that. He wants to do that over and over and over again. And he wants to use you to do it. So our care fund this year, that's what was raised. And as we talk about the care fund and we think about that, again, without your generosity, the part that helped her financially wouldn't have happened. Couldn't have happened. But then I just love her heart to say, I just want to be a part. I just want to give back. I want someone else to experience that. Am I taking too much? Are you giving me too much? Is that going to hinder you? No, it won't hinder. The only hindrance we have to helping more people is us. Because we're not in relationships with them. We won't extend ourselves. We won't give of our time and our energy. That's what hinders us. And so as we look ahead, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding in that. To walk up to someone and sit by him in a picnic table, the leading there, and the conversation, and the willingness, and the follow-up, and the connectedness. Those are things the Spirit was leading to be done. Understanding the call and what that is, and that's to love. It's to demonstrate Christ. It's to be Christ. to them. And so that's what hopefully that video spoke to you. Maybe brought a little conviction. And so we think about the plan for this year. I want us to look at a passage. It's in Ephesians. It's chapter 4. And so we'll be there. And it will pick up on this theme of one and what the impact of that could be. It says this in verse 1. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all, in all, and living through all. You see that theme of one. And we're thinking specifically about the one, our Lord, our Savior. Often when we say Lord and Savior, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? We've heard it so often. I think a better way of saying that would be our Savior and Lord. You see, the saving, the birth truth, how we're born again, how we're born into the family of God, is by placing our faith in what Christ did on the cross to be that sufficient payment for our sins. We accept that free gift that he died for us. Yeah, the one who is the one way, the one truth, the one life. The one who's the mediator between us and God. That one, that Lord. And once we're born into the family of God, making him our Lord, because he is Lord, but whether we'll allow him to be that into our lives, that's a different question, isn't it? He wants to be. He's made a way for it to happen, and that is through the strength of surrender. So counterintuitive, isn't it? The strength of faith so that we can surrender. So we've seen that in a video. I know if you thought about some interaction you've had, you've experienced some of that. Probably been on both ends of that, right? Received grace from others, extended grace, having someone be Christ to you, you being Christ to them. That is the call that God has on us, but he also has something very specific to you. So let's look at verse 1 again. It tells us something very important. It makes a way for us not to be able to escape. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Living a life worthy of your calling. And then it says this, for you have been called by God. If you've been born into the family of God by placing your faith in Christ, then you are being called. You're being called to be Christ to others, to be his messenger, to be his hands, to be his feet. How do we practically do that? The next few verses tell us. It says this, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowances for people's faults. You know, the title of this passage, which isn't in the scripture, it's not in the original, but the summary of this is unity in the body. How are we possibly going to have unity in a body with this many people, this many backgrounds, this many perspectives? Him. And guess what we have to do? We have to overlook each other's faults. That's called grace. Extending grace to other people. You know, it's taken me a long time to come to this conclusion. But I recognize I can't have a relationship with anybody who won't extend grace to me. And I have people that won't extend grace to me. And as hard as I try, I'm broken, I'm fallen, I have faults. I need grace. I need people to overlook my faults. And there's a connection between us understanding about the amount of grace we have received, the forgiveness we have received when we placed our faith in Christ, all of my sin paid for. How could I possibly hold that against someone else? That example that he is to us, that's what extending grace, overlooking faults. And I have three or four relationships that are broken, and they can't find it in them to extend grace to me because I need it. And the people around me, people I work with, many of you, maybe all of you have to extend grace to overlook faults. And that's what God wants us, being humble and generous, recognizing, man, I was forgiven everything. How can I hold this against? It's like, I have faults too. I need someone to extend grace to me. So that is part of the how. And then as we continue, I want to go to verses 5 and 6. It says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. There's one Lord. It's him. There's one chief shepherd of the church, of his body. It's him. He is the Lord. And so the idea of us being born in the family of God and now growing up as a family of God, that's called growing, that's called maturing. That's called becoming more like Christ, being transformed, being conformed to his image, to reflect him. And that's something that we're all called to. And I say that, and I don't want you to miss the fact that you are called to something very specific, that he has something very specific in mind for you. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another year. I want you to be thinking about that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out to think about this. There's one step that you need to take. It's a step of faith towards him. It's to trust him with that thing that he is leading you to. That step of faith that you'll step out. And I know that we tend to grandiose things. I know... Shortly after I got saved, 3 or 4 years, I knew that God was calling me into missions, and I ran from that. I didn't want to do that. I had better plans, I thought, for myself. And I was working on a towboat going up and down the Mississippi River. And on that boat, the captain was a strong believer. He started discipling me. I was in the Word. I was reading. And I remember over that course of a year, just a little over, I remember getting close to the summer, and I remember fully surrendering. Did I? And I knew he wanted to be a missionary. He wanted me to go somewhere, find Karen first, and then go somewhere and reach people that have never heard the gospel and aren't going to unless somebody goes and tells them. I surrendered all. What I didn't know then, that I do know now, is that one big surrender, one, I wasn't surrendering everything, which is everything that I could think of at that moment. But our growth, making him Lord of our life, is daily surrender. It's little steps. I was so far from being equipped to even go and do that. God used that in my life to get me moving. But what I found, it's that one more step of faith, to trust him in an area that you haven't yet. To believe again that he has something good for you. He has called you to something more. He wants to give you that purpose. And I gotta believe, and my experience has been, that contentment, satisfaction, peace, joy, true freedom only comes when we're taking those little tiny steps of faith, walking closer and closer to Him. That's what's in front of us, guys. In a moment, we're going to be singing, and they'll lead us, and then we'll get a join in. But I want you to think about those words and let it resonate who we're singing to. But I want to challenge you to take one step of faith, whatever that is that God is calling you to, nudging you towards. And then I want you to think about one person. We saw it in the video. One person, the impact they had on someone else by being there, being willing, able to simply be Christ to someone else. Who is that one person for you? If you don't know, ask Him, pray about it. If you know, pray for them. And take every opportunity to represent Christ and be Christ in their life. And the way He is gracious and loving and caring, He's a healer. He's a friend. He's the one friend. He's the one Savior. He's the one that brings peace. Be that to that one person in your life. Let's worship. Amen. You know, as we go out, I hope you will take that song with you in your heart of how good He is. I hope and pray that you'll find that call that God has for you. I pray as we journey and we go forward this next year that we all would find that. We do that together. That we would go and share the hope of who Christ is, our Savior and our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just asking You to do a work in our hearts. God, that we could see Your goodness, we could see Your grace, we'd recognize how much You love us, what You've done for us. God, I pray that whatever hinders us, what has, Lord, that we would surrender that to You, that we'd have the strength of faith, not in ourselves, but in You, to do a work that only You can do. God, I pray that You would unite us in Your purposes for Your glory, and that Christ would be known in this place and every place that we go. We love You, and in Jesus' name, amen. There's something for you. It's a stone of remembrance. It's smaller, and on it it says one, and it has a cross on it. Pick one up on the way out, and as you see that, think of the one person. Think of that one step you need to take, and that'll be a reminder as we go through this year. Happy New Year.